Rod's Pulse Podcast number 71, Blackboard World Interview, Mark Jones of Echo 360, and Blake Morgan.
Hi, this is Blake Morgan, and you're listening to Rod's Pulse Podcast.
This is Rod's Pulse Podcast, the podcast for faculty and students interested in learning how to use and create podcasts and other e-learning technologies. Welcome back.
Well, that was a little clip from, you guessed it, Blake Morgan. I really like his sound. I played his songs several other times on my podcast. I hope you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the end of the podcast, and I'll play the full song called Saccharin. It's from the album by Blake Morgan called Anger's Candy. Now, before I get to my main topic today, I want to cover some items from the Podosphere. I'm calling this regular feature of my podcast Rod's Podcaster Guide in E-Learning News. That refers to my new website of the same name. You can find that at www.podcaster-guide.com. One of the interesting articles I just found was called Live Streaming from the iPhone on the Way. As you know, Apple has opened up the software development kit for iPhone, but this was a product that was done by so-called jailbreaking the iPhone, so you do void your warranty. Just an indication of what's coming, which means that you can stream live audio and video right from your iPhone right to a website. As you might guess, it's pretty bleeding-edge stuff, so don't expect to jump into that unless you're willing to break the warranty on your iPhone. China's in the news because of the Olympics, and this article caught my eye was called Why Podcasting Never Killed the Radio Star in China. And it relates a story from a podcaster who started a podcast called Anti-Wave, and it's for the Chinese market, but it really has never taken off, and he blames several things. He blames Apple and that the iPod maker has done nothing for podcasting in China. The Chinese portal website has distorted the idea of what podcasting is all about. And the Chinese consumers, they don't have expensive iPods. They have more like $10 MP3 players. And also the article points out that the International Olympic Committee effectively banned athletes and other accredited people from podcasting and photo blogging. So it looks like podcasting hasn't hit its stride yet in China. Also, I want to point out that Drexel University Online announced the launch of a new blog called eInsights. And it's going to feature some of today's hottest topics in online education, and also provides informative posts about technology, software, and podcasts. Now, the main contributor to the blog so far is Dr. Ken Hartman, my friend over there at Drexel, academic director of Drexel University Online. So try it out. The URL is on my show notes. It's www.drexelonlineblog.com. And last, I just want to point out that there's another PodCamp Unconference coming up. It's now in its second year. It's going to be in Philadelphia this year. It's going to be at Temple. It's going to be in September 6th and 7th, and you can go to the URL posted on my website. Now for my main topic today, I recorded an interview with Mark Jones at the recent Blackboard World Conference in Las Vegas. Mark Jones is the president of Echo 360. Now, many of you may know Echo 360 by its former name, AnyStream. The product was Espresso Classroom, which is used at Thomas Jefferson University. The new company was formed from a merger of AnyStream and Lectopia, a company from Australia. So listen on and learn about the ecosystem. It's a platform for campus-wide automated lecture capture and playback. So without further ado, here's my interview with Mark Jones. I'm here again at the Blackboard World 08 conference in Las Vegas, and very happy to have the opportunity to interview Mark Jones, who's the president of Echo 360. and he's agreed to talk to us a little bit about their latest products. Just for a little bit of background for my audience, Thomas Jefferson University is a customer for one of their earlier products, which was called Appresso Classroom. So, Mark, thanks for talking to me. And why don't you start off just by letting people know, first of all, why you changed the name and what does Echo 360 bring that maybe we haven't seen in Appresso Classroom?
Sure. Thanks, Rod. Thanks for having us. About a year ago, AnyStream, which the previous product name was Apprezo, acquired a company called Lectopia. Lectopia was really the originator of lecture capture based out of the University of Western Australia. So, and we had a very similar sort of approach to the market. They were looking for a way to capitalize on the technology and get it to more exposure worldwide. So we ended up acquiring them. As part of that process, we had to choose a name, either to keep calling it AnyStream Apprezo or Lectopia. And because we have marketing staff, of course, we decided, well, an even better option is to rebrand it, come up with a new name. So we did. We chose Echo 360 as the company name. The new product, which is actually a combination, really, of the technologies of Apprezo and Lectopia, is called the Echo System. So that new product is officially shipping. We announced it at Educom just recently and here in Las Vegas. And that is now the product of record, and it is selling pretty actively worldwide, both in the U.S., Europe, Southeast Asia, ANZ, etc.
Now, for my audience who may not be familiar with either product name, can you give us a sort of a five-cent tour of what your product actually does for us?
Sure. The category we are sort of lumped into is lecture capture. We think of it as automated lecture capture or classroom capture, and really think of it as sort of a variation of a TiVo. So people know what TiVo is in terms of recording a TV event and then watching it back at their leisure. We really do the same thing for a classroom. So we record what happens in the classroom, a combination of the audio, much like you're recording this podcast now, the visuals that are presented in the classroom, and potentially also a video source, a video camera of the faculty. We put all of that into a rich media browser-based playback, as well as creating a podcast, an enhanced podcast, and even a vodcast, so students can review the material at their leisure to help reinforce learning concepts, master the material, etc.
Now, if I recall with the version that we're currently using at Jefferson, the students can go to their Blackboard site where we have a link to the classroom capture file, and they can watch the full media with navigate through the lecture. And then their choice is also to listen just to an audio podcast. So does this new product then, it sounds like it's supporting a more an enhanced podcast that's compatible for a video iPod, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the old product actually had three different outputs that we created. It had a regular podcast, which people think of as an MP3 file typically. We also created an enhanced podcast, which took the visuals from the course. So think of a PowerPoint presentation. It would take one of the PowerPoint slides and turn that into an image that would play back synchronized with the audio on even a Nano that had any sort of screen to it. And then with the new version, we also created a vodcast, which is effectively the visuals in class in full motion as a movie that also plays back on a video iPod with audio. And then, of course, the full presentation we call an echo is the full rich media browser-based view where you can navigate based on visual thumbnails, reorganize the screen, that sort of thing.
There's more and more emphasis on mobile devices, mobile phones, not just iPod. Do you support other mobile devices?
Yeah, we're really device agnostic as long as the device itself plays back an MP3 or an MPEG movie, whatever typical type video they might have. As long as they play one of those formats, which are now pretty standard, they can play one of our files.
Is there anything else that's new in the Echo 360 that we don't have at Jefferson yet?
There is. The new version has a couple of pretty significant enhancements. One is that we've built a new AV capture appliance for the capture part. So the original Apprezo system ran on a Windows PC with commercial capture cards, which is what many of the early systems used. We found that to be somewhat limiting as you scaled this product into more classrooms on campus. There was just a fair amount of pushback on deploying and managing PCs, Windows PCs, in classrooms. So about a year and a half ago, we started building a true AV device, which has an embedded Linux operating system and is very small and really designed specifically for a classroom environment to capture all of your smart technology investment you put in the classroom. We also, with this release, have an editor. So we'll have the ability to visually edit in a browser-based editor to cut out dead spots, tops and tails, take out a 5-minute section in the middle, or to recreate smaller learning objects from a larger piece of a larger section of capture.
That's great news, because I know that's one of the features that our faculty would have liked to have. You know, if they misstated something or they wanted to redo something, it takes quite a lot of effort. So now it looks like the new system, you've worked that into the functionality. Is there any other features coming down the pike? How often do you release new updates?
We generally try to do two releases a year, one in May, so spring release in May, and one in November. The May release, obviously, we try to get out in time for the big summer deployment season when people have more time and access to the classrooms. Same for the winter release. We try to get that done in the end of November so we can put it in. People can install during the winter break. We have a number of new things coming still. We're adding a lot of features surrounding true sort of campus-wide deployments. So we have new campus-wide site license options. We have departmental site license options. And with that, there's a different level of expectation and manageability. So if you have 100 classrooms deployed with this capture technology, you really need to be able to centrally manage and monitor, schedule, which we've always had, but really be able to have a single person sort of manage the entire deployment. We're building a lot of features to support that in a truly sort of enterprise class deployment. And then there are some other things on the drawing board really around collaboration. There's a lot of interest in letting students collaborate around the content you've captured, as sort of a social education dynamic around the content, and some other things that we're not yet talking about, but they're all sort of related to the social dynamic, the social media dynamic. So,
do you have a solution for a faculty member who wants to just sit in his office and capture his lecture, and doesn't necessarily, maybe it's for a distance learning course, he's not talking to a live audience, but he wants to use all the, you know, all the features and functionality?
Yeah, one of the design criteria for this version of the product was to have both the best possible solution for a fixed deployment, you know, a higher-end smart classroom or large lecture halls, etc., and also to have the ability to have the same platform be able to handle what we call faculty self-publish, which is a faculty member going back and maybe on their laptop creating a 10-minute learning object. They still want to publish it through Blackboard or the CMS of choice. They still want the editing tools and all the same pieces to apply, but they just want to do it at home or in their office for smaller learning objects and still have this flow through the entire system. So those are supported as well.
That's great. I guess one other question I have, can your product be hosted by you, or does the school have to buy all the hardware and manage it? Because obviously that might be beyond the capability of some, especially smaller schools.
Right, it's a good question. We do some limited hosting today. We haven't really rolled it out as an offering, as a commercial offering. We have done probably a dozen or so. We see a lot of hosting requirements during the trial phase as we do trials. As you mentioned, a lot of smaller institutions that may not have the staff have opted to go that way. What we're finding for larger deployments is, because it's relatively data intensive, there's a fair amount of data created for the video and pushed around, and because campuses tend to have a very clear sense of wanting to own the content locally and being very protective of it, we haven't seen huge demand yet for it, but we expect that will probably grow as storage keeps getting cheaper and bandwidth keeps getting cheaper, and if we can do a better and better job of making it seamless, we think people will probably start to opt for that.
Great. We're about at the end of our time here. I always like to ask one final question. I don't know how, you're probably pretty busy at your booth, so I don't know if you've had much chance to look around, but have you seen anything at the show, or have you heard anything from Blackboard recently that excited you, or something really unique?
You're right. I haven't had much chance to see the other booths and exhibits, nor have I gone to many sessions, but I think what I've seen from the partner level with Blackboard is they're certainly embracing the partner community even more so. They're very open to our suggestions. They've actually invited us to meetings and said, you know, what do you want from Blackboard in terms of relationship? What else can we do to facilitate your success and the joint success of our customers? So I think there's a renewed focus on open integration points, working more closely with partners to the benefit of our joint customers. So we view that as all great progress and, you know, portend well for the future.
Great. Well, again, thanks so much, Mark, and thanks for your time.
Great. Thank you very much.
That's about all I have for today, so stay tuned for the song by Blake Morgan, and thank you for listening. Until next time, have a great week.
Please leave Rod feedback at 610-616-2199.
Forgive me, sugar, I'm not It feels real.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Please don't forget to leave Rod feedback. You can go to www.rodspulsepodcast.com and leave comments on his blog. You can send feedback to his email address, rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. You can also send audio feedback by calling into his comment line at 610-616-2199. Till next time, have a great week.
The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Merry, and does not represent the official viewpoint of Thomas Jefferson University, or any other institution or company.